If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2E Radio. Thank you very much, RJ Hender, for yet another fine show. Now, guys, it really came to me last night when doing some research for the show and tuning myself up, you know, just on some of the things going on around the world today, around our country specifically. And I took it upon myself to take all of these quotes and all of these things said by both government officials and members of the Marxist media about this entire Immigration Reform Act, which is SB 1070 in Arizona that went into law about 3 weeks ago, won't actually take effect until 90 days after the legislators in Arizona finish up for the year. So that's probably going to be August. You know, somewhere around August, I'd imagine. They're sewing things up now, but who knows, maybe late July. I don't know. It's 3 months, so what's that? Now, it's got to be at least August or September. Things such as, oh yeah, cops can just pull you out of the crowd and check to see if you're legal. There are a few issues with the legislation, and there's a lot of misconceptions. So I sat down, and it's four or five pages. I read the entire thing, and I read the updated version because they, about a week or so after they passed it, they changed some of the verbiage, eliminated a couple things, added a couple things in there. So I read the entire bill, which did not take me more than about a half an hour because there are some legislative speak I wanted to really read a few things a couple of times that really interested me. So it took about a half hour or so to go through the entire thing. And I have to tell you, it is a very well-written law, and it is very encompassing. There are some provisions of that law which I find very interesting, such as all of the fines that would be paid or will be paid when people are convicted of things go into a fund to help pay the different policing agencies that will be enforcing this. People who actually serve time because of convictions of provisions of this law will be paying for that jail time. They'll be reimbursing the jail. Judges will not have an option to commute these sentences or to shorten them. They must go by the law. They haven't the option. The only time that they could commute any sort of or do anything regarding the sentence is after the time has been served. Then they could go back and say, okay, we're going to erase that conviction, whatever it may be. But they actually have to serve the time. Some very interesting provisions, which have gotten some very interesting revolutionary responses from different Hispanic organizations and La Raza. The thing is, it's not specifically targeted towards Mexicans, but the Mexicans are pretty pissed. Why? Because they all filter up through Arizona for the most part. We're going to have a very candid conversation about this and figure out why is it that we're talking about this on a 2A radio show. And it's all going to come together by the end. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, to be back right after the break.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. Now, we're going to sew this entire thing together during the show. Why is it we keep talking about these immigration laws on 2A Radio? I mean, isn't this about the Second Amendment, gun rights and things? Yes, it is. And, again, we'll be drawing that conclusion as it comes. To talk a little bit more about the law in Arizona, don't believe a lot of the hype and a lot of the BS and a lot of the garbage statements that are coming out, and don't believe a lot of the corporate Marxist interviewers who are picking on interviewees. Quite honestly, if you read the law even a single time, you'll realize that all of that is a bunch of hype. Why is it a bunch of hype? There's an agenda that's coming out of the White House to cause all sort of racial tensions and hate and discontent. Because what happens when the civilians in society start to erupt and there's problems? What happens is the government steps in and they take control through some form of martial law or another. And that's exactly what's going on. We have a rabble-rousing chief executive. And this particular chief executive, President number 44. What was his job before this? A community organizer. Now, you notice that when people are in support of this law, of these sorts of laws, there's no press coverage at all. But when there is any sort of press against them from the meager immigrants who snuck in illegally, well, then we get a little attention. Unless, of course, they cause some sort of problem or some sort of damage. Then it's wiped off. We don't even discuss it. They don't even hold on the story. The story is always really good until there's violence or destruction of some kind on the part of the poor, meager immigrants. If there is nothing like that that happens, then they get the news. Otherwise, they won't do it. Because the Marxist media will be accused of, well, you know, you filmed the first two-thirds of the event, but the last third where they got violent and smashed things up and beat people up and broke windows and spray-painted stuff on storefronts in New Mexico, then we're going to accuse you of not actually having completed the entire story. So they won't play that game. So if there does end up being some sort of cultural war in the streets, some sort of civil unrest because of something like this, this is good for those in the government who would like to have more power and authority, because they'll just come in and say, oh, we're going to shut this thing down and lock it down. And then they'll be responsible for keeping it alive so that they can keep us all locked down and under martial law of some kind or another. So, how did this whole thing start? Well, this whole thing started with a letter, which is over a year ago, March 11th, 2009, by Janice Brewer, governor of Arizona. She writes to the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, and says, "Dear Secretary Gates, after considering a variety of options, I write this letter to ask for increased military presence on the border with Mexico. Specifically, I believe an increase of approximately 250 National Guard soldiers under the mandate and control of the Joint Counter-Narco-Terrorist Task Force, JCNTF, using Federal Title 32 Section 12 funding will be the optimum step at this time. As you are aware, Arizona and other U.S.-Mexico border states continue to be confronted by a number of unique and or disproportionate challenges relative to other states. We bear significant unreimbursed costs to the public, nonprofit and business sectors associated with border-related challenges. Our communities are negatively affected by the impact of illegal drug trade and illegal immigration, and enforcement agencies in all jurisdictions are stretched way too thin to address the enormity of the problem. I believe that the supplementing of the existing JCNTF personnel to bring the total to approximately 400 Army and Air National Guard soldiers and airmen make the most sense at this time. The support of these additional soldiers can provide to law enforcement agencies operations that would prove to be invaluable. While I am extremely sensitive to the demand on the Guard, Reserve, and active duty forces associated with operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, I believe the personnel count I am proposing and the JCNTF method I am requesting is appropriate and workable. Meaning she's done her homework. I'm open to higher troop strength numbers and that the missions to which such additional personnel will be assigned are both meaningful and valuable. I will not use your time to surmise the current and possible duties or roles of National Guard personnel working with JCNTF. I know you and your Pentagon staff are familiar. I will emphasize, however, that Arizona on its own cannot and should not face the prospect of sustaining additional forces to address this federal matter. Additional support provided pursuant to Title 32 of the United States Code for National Guard activities along the border is both a lawful, justified, and prudent step to take at this time. Before closing, I want to add that I am taking some time to examine whether our National Guard forces are fully equipped to meet the greater demands associated with an increased JCNTF commitment. Specifically, our aerial reconnaissance assets seem limited to meet the challenges posed by our nearly 400-mile-long border with Mexico. Before making any requests of you, I want to study the matter further. I did, though, want to bring the matter to your attention, since my first reaction was that we did not have the right quantity of air assets to most effectively address border threats. Thank you in advance for an expedited review of this request. I certainly hope to be adding additional thanks, in which I hope will be a positive manner to this correspondence. I'm sorry, positive response to this correspondence. Sincerely, Janice K. Brewer, Governor. So, basically what she's saying is this. Now, as the governor of Arizona, she's in control and command of the National Guard troops. However, she's trying to get this through the Pentagon so that the state of Arizona doesn't have to foot the bill. That's the way this is going. Saying, look, this is a federal responsibility. Now, keep in mind, this letter is 14 months old. 14 months old today. Another letter went out on April 22nd, 2009, to Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, who are the majority and minority leaders, Nancy Pelosi, and John Boehner, who are the speaker and the minority leader in the House. Similar letter went out to them. And then, yet another letter went out, this one specifically to the chief executive, on April 6, 2010, just a little over a month ago. And this is a four-page letter pleading that this JCNTF of 250 troops, additional troops, which now make it 400 on the border, would be supplied by the Pentagon. Chief executive can certainly require that to happen. And there's a four-page letter pleading on the already 13-month-old letter she sent to Robert Gates. Of course, a copy of this went to Robert Gates, Janet Napolitano, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, Bill Richardson of New Mexico, Rick Perry of Texas, the other border states, as well as the two senators and, what is it, eight representatives, state representatives, in Arizona, and also representatives that represent their states all that are along that same Mexican border. All of them, we proceed on this. So this is not a new effort by Arizona. Not at all. They also have in there that each police agency, they call them law enforcement agencies, in Arizona, are mandated to follow this law. They're also, through the collection of fines, the fines will all go to one central location in Arizona. And that central location will distribute those funds back to the agencies that participated in this based on percentage of their workload in enforcing this particular bit of legislation. If you arrested 100 people over the year, then you get a percentage. Let's say 20,000 people were arrested. If you arrested 100 of them, you get the appropriate percentage of the funds collected from those 20,000 people that were arrested and if they were convicted and monies were collected, even if they were pesos. And if you had 10,000 of those arrests, you get 50% of those funds. So that's the way this goes. As well as the jail is being paid for by the person who's been convicted. So all of this is funded by the people who are getting convicted. Here's another interesting thing. If you are driving someone who is in the country illegally, if you're driving an illegal, well, that's a misdemeanor. If you're driving six or more, it's now a felony, like a class six felony or something. However, the fine will be not less than $1,000 per illegal that's in your vehicle. So that handles transportation as well as those of you who would go down to some home improvement store and pick out a half dozen illegals to go clean up your yard or to employ them as day laborers. There's penalties for employers. However, there are some immunities if you are a general contractor and you hire a subcontractor and the subcontractor has illegal employees. You as a general contractor have some immunity. It would go directly to the chief subcontractor. Anyhow, more to come after the break. Stay tuned. Be right back.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Welcome back, guys. Let's address another provision of this law. A lot of the naysayers out there say, oh yeah, cops are actually going to be required to have to ask you about your immigration status. Okay. They also say that they can just pick you out of a crowd randomly through racial profiling for you to have to prove that you're here legally. Okay. Couple of things. There are things known as primary offenses. There are secondary offenses. And then there are trailing offenses. Okay. Primary offenses, secondary offenses, and trailing offenses. I'll give you, for instance, if you're not wearing a seatbelt in the state of Nevada, that is a secondary offense. I should say it used to be. I don't know if it is now. It used to be a secondary offense, meaning if a cop saw you completely abiding by the law, but noticed that you were not wearing a seatbelt, that's not enough to stop you. However, if they noticed you doing some violation of some law or provision, and they pulled you over and you weren't wearing a seatbelt, then they could also get you for not wearing a seatbelt. But they couldn't pull you over specifically just for not wearing a seatbelt. It was a secondary offense. It was originally a primary offense, then there's a big problem with it. So then it was reduced to a secondary offense the next time the legislature met 2 years later. Now, a trailing offense might be something else, such as you're driving without wearing shoes, if that happens to be a law. I'm just using that as an example. You can't pull somebody over for driving without wearing shoes. It can't even be a secondary offense. It'd be a trailing offense. This immigration law is a trailing offense. First of all, there must be a legal stop. It was originally worded legal contact. Well, legal contact is just going up for a cop and saying hello to somebody. That's legal. Now it has to be a legal stop, meaning they have to have reasonable suspicion, not probable cause. Probable cause exists when the facts and circumstances known to the officer would warrant a prudent man to believe that a crime had been committed and that the accused had committed it. Reasonable suspicion is below that. Reasonable suspicion is almost like like extenuated, not extenuated. What is the term that you would use in court if you're convicted not on facts but on situational happenings? What is the term? I feel like such an ass when this happens, when I'm live on the air and I can't think of a very common term. Drives me nuts, sort of thing. My nemesis in life, by the way, are inanimate objects that don't perform the way they're supposed to perform. Just something that you would buy in a store and you go to use it, it's not working properly. That sort of thing drives me absolutely nuts. Just nuts. You want to drive me crazy? Put me into a one-acre building, a warehouse, full of stuff that doesn't work the way it's supposed to, and then give me projects to do with all this broken garbage. Or you'll just drive me up every wall in the place. Anyhow. Circumstantial, that's what I'm thinking of. Reasonable suspicion would essentially be circumstantial information given to the officer, that the officer had accumulated. It accumulated some circumstantial information that made him believe that you may have committed a crime or you're about to, because things kind of line up in that direction. It's information available right now. So, he has to have that. The police officer, they, he, she, are going to need to have that twice before this immigration discussion can even happen. First of all, for the first offense that you're being stopped for them to be investigating. They have to have reasonable suspicion at a minimum to even make a stop with you. Once that stop has been made, depending on how things are going, if the officer then has reasonable suspicion that you may be here illegally, then they must ask for you to provide some sort of identification. Now, the problem with that is courts have ruled that you don't have to carry identification with you. So this law says you have to carry an ID from the state of Arizona or any other state ID, which would be a driver's license or a non-driver's ID card, a passport, a birth certificate, if you are Native American, some sort of tribal birth or tribal identification, or if you are here legally, a green card, something along that lines, immigration papers. You have to have something on you. Which is, again, that's kind of a civil liberties violation. However, got to do something. We're not going to start having people microchipped or tattooed. You know, I'm here legally, so mark me up. Ink me. With all this being said, I have about a 5-minute piece I'm going to play for you when we come back from the next break about a UCLA professor, as it's alleged. He is some sort of a teacher. This happened at UCLA, so the reasonable suspicion is he's a UCLA professor who is a member of La Raza calling for revolution of all the Hispanics in America, some 40 million, against the rest of us. And my thoughts after we play that. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
I want to start off by saying that the young man who spoke a little while ago was one of my students. And that made me so proud, because I know that our people strong leaders for years and years to come. As a militante of Unión del Barrio, a revolutionary Mexican organization here We understand what the camarada is saying. You're right, this is not just about Mexico. This is about a global struggle against imperialism and capitalism.
Yeah.
But we know that all of that is happening in the context that where we now stand is stolen, occupied Mexico. Yeah. And the message that we bring is we want to bring a little bit of more of a revolutionary context to this. Why is it that these people, these frail, racist, white people, want to keep us out of this country? It's not because simply the color of our skin. It's not simply because they just want to exploit us. Let me tell you why. Because on this planet right now, of 6 billion people, at the forefront of the revolutionary movement is the raza. When you go to Venezuela, we have the long history and example of our comandante, Fidel Castro Ruz. We got Hugo Chavez, Evo Morales. We got Brazil, Ecuador, you name it. We have nine left of center governments in Latin America right now. And they know something that one young Argentine called Che Guevara said. It was called the domino theory. And he knew that every single country would go revolutionary, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So what do they fear? They know that every single country, they know that we no longer will fall to these lies called borders. We know that a Salvadoran and a Guatemalan and a Nicaraguense and a Mexicano, there's no damn difference. We are all one people. So with that in mind, we see ourselves, all of us here, as the northern front of a Latin American revolutionary movement. More than 40 million of our people north of the Rio Grande. That means to them, there's 40 million potential revolutionaries north of the border, inside the belly of the beast. So when you think about why do they want to kick us, of all people, out, that's why. Because they know that we now know the truth. They know that now we are raza, we're professionals, we're educators, we are revolutionary students. What does that mean? We are not just a regular culture anymore. We're a culture of revolutionary spirit. And that's the fear. So with that being said, I want to leave you with this. As a revolutionary, and with revolutionary context, let's be clear about one thing. Our enemy is not the Minutemen. Quote me. Our enemy is not the Minutemen. Because the Minutemen are not the ones who have killed over 4,600 people at those borders. That our enemy is the same enemy as Hugo Chavez. That Hugo Chavez has. Our enemy is the same enemy that keeps Africa poor. Our enemy is the same enemy that keeps Asia poor. Our enemy is capitalism and imperialism. Okay? If we are serious about making change, let me tell you, the struggle will go on for many more years after we leave UCLA. Reading a book or writing a book or teaching a class, that is not part of the movement. What you do 24 hours a day as a professional revolutionary, that is what is going to lead our people and all people to liberation. Que viva la raza.
That happens to be the higher education at UCLA by a UCLA professor. You can only draw the conclusion because he says something about UCLA and having a student. Therefore, that happened to be, if you know anybody at UCLA, that's the type of staff that they have there now, at least for the Hispanic group. And they are now going to be professional revolutionaries from Jalasa. Yeehaw. I just had to do that. So this is what we're dealing with. Now what we have is we have all of these rabble-rousers getting up, getting all pissed off, and now they want to be professional revolutionaries of these 40 million Latinos in the United States. They are all one people, from Mexico all the way down to the southern tip of Chile. All of them that are in this country, I'd imagine illegally, I don't know, legally or not, who knows? This guy's probably here legally if he's a UCLA professor. However, you never know. And now they all want to get up and they want to fight, fight, fight! And they're also talking about that particular portion of land that they were standing on in LA was stolen from Mexico. You know, which is what La Raza is all about. La Raza wants to reclaim land that was once Mexico's. I have to tell you something, guys. We kicked your ass and sent you home. That's how we got the land. We didn't steal it. All right? Stealing something would be, say, for instance, you're at school, you're next to some kid, that kid has, say, a pencil on his desk. You reach over there and take the pencil. That's stealing. Now, it's a little bit different if you see a pencil and the other kid sees a pencil, you believe it's yours, he believes it's his, and you end up in a fight. And whoever gets their ass kicked does not get the pencil. The victor, the one who did the ass whipping, they get the pencil. That's the way it went down there, Professor. There was a dispute between Mexico and the United States. It turned into an armed conflict. We whipped your asses and took the land because the land was in dispute. At one point in time, it had been yours. Then a dispute came up and we decided, well, guess what? We're going to win this fight, kick your ass, and now it's ours. So we didn't steal it. There was a fight over it and you lost. It was not a Cinco de Mayo for you, S.A. We whipped your ass back into the borough. Now, let's say that you did get that. La Raza wins. Okay, great. You get California and parts of Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, wherever you claim this area is supposed to be. All right. Let's say that you get that back. What would it turn into once you got it? Well, I would imagine it's probably going to turn from the gleaming cities that you've got now into the same filthy barrio that you've got on a lot of the border towns, because essentially, every border town, the northern part of Mexico against the southern U.S. border, essentially, every border town that you see is filthy and disgusting. So now we're just going to move that further north into encroaching into what is now the United States? Is that what we're going to have? Is a whole bunch of former American towns that are now going to be just, you know, filthy border towns? The only parts of Mexico, I've been around Mexico, the only parts of Mexico that I have seen that are really nice, quite honestly, are the touristy areas. You've got a lot of corporate money in there. So, we're going to take a call from Pancillo in Texas. Pancillo, welcome to 2A Radio.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I just heard that speech that guy made, the one you put. And to me, it's ridiculous as hell.
You know, I have to tell you something. The thing has gone so viral. Last night, it had been up for 24 hours, already had 313,000 hits in 24 hours. I didn't check it this morning. It might be over a half a million at this point.
Yeah, well, his message is almost like the New World Order set this up a long time ago. I mean, people say, oh, I don't know if there's such a thing, but I think I'm beginning to see if there is such a thing. I think it's called the UN, you know, and
you're seeing very clearly, you're reading the tea leaves properly, in my opinion. This sort of thing has been happening in different areas around the world, but the United States has been rather immune from it. Now that the rest of the world effectively has succumbed to this, there can be a lot more focus on the U.S. to try to get this sort of thing happening. Then that gets the government more in control of us, and then hence the UN can be in a little bit more control of the government.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If this idiot starts any bullshit, he'll be the first one I'll be.
Sorry, we have you have to be careful with the language, okay?
Well, yeah.
You can call it the BS.
Well, I'm not. I wouldn't hurt him. I just straighten him out with proper language.
Right. Yeah, Well, you're absolutely right, because if this sort of thing continues, we're going to have a real problem in this country.
Well, the same thing kind of happened in Germany, didn't it, with the Jewish people? You know, but a little on the reverse side.
Yes, they were more the victims of it.
Oh yeah, but it wasn't just the Jews; it was the Gypsies and everybody else.
True.
You know, and that's part of the thing. They always try to make somebody the victim. That way they can come in and restructure everything. I mean, I'm amazed how this seems to be happening for, I mean, I don't know how many generations, all the way back to Rome. When Rome used to control one country, one nation against another nation, one tribe against another tribe.
Yeah, what we're talking about, Pensillo, is that this is history repeating itself.
Yes.
Again and again and again. And the Americans, by nature, for some reason, don't like to see history and see it repeated. Those of us who are familiar with a certain aspect of what happened to be going on in society will probably be able to look back in history, any certain aspect, and see that it's happened before. And it's happened several times. We know how to expect this to end up if we don't head it off at the pass.
Exactly. Ever since Ron Paul woke me up, I'll be honest with you.
Really?
And he woke me up, because I was one of these guys on the couch, you know, not doing much of anything, just looking at the games, looking at the shows, you know, playing sports, doing different things. And all of a sudden I saw, I just saw everything was something was wrong with the political arena, with everything was changing, but not the right direction. So I said, well, I'll start looking to the politicians. And finally I Googled where they're all making speeches and coming online on the Google. And the only one in the whole bunch that even discussed the issues, even had any common sense, was Ron Paul.
I would agree with you. Are you? Do you live in his district by chance? You live in Texas.
No, no.
What part of Texas?
I did. No, but we've gotten our congressman basically to start leaning that direction. As a matter of fact, I've gotten involved with the GOP party in such a way that at the last executive meeting, for the first time, I saw fear in their eyes. You know, and it saddened me because I'm not there to hurt no one. You know, but their thing, we're trying to go in and take over, and it's not taking over; it's educating the people of what's really happening.
Good for you, Pensillo. Thanks very much for calling in and weighing in on this subject.
Oh yeah, no, and keep up the good stuff.
I appreciate it.
Believe it or not, you know, it does make a difference, and not everybody's got their eyes closed.
Great. Thanks a bunch, Pensillo.
Thank you.
All righty, bye-bye. I just reached over to actually hit the end call button, and I don't have it on this particular call, so I might just hit the mute button, and then I'll talk like this, because I'm hitting the mute button instead. Pensillo, thanks very much for the call. Guys, what we have here is failure to realize what we're up against. And as much as this guy with La Raza wants to get every Hispanic man, woman, and child up in arms against anybody who would oppose illegal immigration, they see it as a racist thing that we don't want Mexicans in America. That is not it. That's not it at all. Or even the rest of Latin America has nothing to do with it. One of the guys I respect so much, especially in the shooting world, is the guy who's here from Argentina. He is a fantastic man. I don't have any problem with anybody if from Mexico or any nation south of that, up to and including the southern tip of Chile. No problem at all. Just go through the processes. There is a problem, guys, if you have a city and everybody in the world wants to move to that city, but you cannot keep up with the growth if you're in charge of running that city. If you can't build roads fast enough or widen the freeway quick enough or have enough on-ramps and off-ramps or keep up with the utilities and getting good water, electric, and sewer into these different areas, they're just thrown together haphazardly, you have a real problem. Addition to that, we end up having trouble in America if people flood in illegally. Go through the legal chains. We can we know how many people we can allow into this country and not start to bankrupt us or have us a real big financial problem with it. Okay, go through the legal channels in order to do this. Calling in from Indiana, we have Jerry. Jerry, I just want to let you know we have about 1 minute before the break, so shoot. Jerry?
Yes, go ahead.
We have about 1 minute, so carry on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I'm disappointed at is that so many of us confuse what's going on with lousy politics or this or that. That's not the case. You know, it started back in the 50s with the dumbing down of the curricula of our education, the removal of accurate history, American history, the also in addition to that, it started with the removal of the pulpit's voice from America, where they remind us of our morals and ethics. What's going on today isn't bad politics. Today it's masterfully disassembling our country by powerful interests that know exactly what they're doing.
Jerry, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry, man. We got to go to break, and I've got something for the next segment. But thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And you couldn't be more spot on. Guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
And welcome back, everyone. Okay, let's sew this whole thing together. We've got the government on one side that's constantly at odds with those of us who are really seeing things clearly and understand, look, here's the Constitution, just abide by it. That's what you're mandated to do. As a matter of fact, you have no more authority or powers than what the Constitution says. The rest lies with the states or with us, meaning mainly us. So, get on it. They're at odds with us. Now, we have an issue with all of this crime seeping into the border states. Arizona's having a very bad problem with it. So they're trying to do something about it because asking the federal government, who's supposed to be doing something about it, has been falling on deaf ears. They have some sort of pro-agenda, as in let's let millions and millions of people come north through our southern border. We'll make them legal, and then we who are in power that made them legal will get all of those votes. One of the reasons this immigration reform stalls. Because whoever happens to be in power, whoever's to be the president when this happens, they will assume that their party gets all of the votes. Well, the other party's not going to allow that to happen. They want it to happen on their watch. Hence, it never gets done. So, what I'm telling you about is this. We have to be prepared for our own damned safety, especially those of you who, like I, live in the southwestern area of the United States. If you live within 500 miles of the Mexican border, beware that there might be armed revolution that comes in from people who protest immigration fixing, as well as the government thugs who are not members of Oath Keepers that would subjugate you. You'd be turned into a subject. Beware that this sort of thing has some sort of a master plan. It's all coming together. The government is happy to see some sort of immigrant revolutionaries come about. If there's any sort of conflicts, they can have some form of martial law. And if you think they're not going to come after your guns, even though there's laws on the books, be prepared. that they just might do it. And you might need to use those guns against any sort of armed incursion, be it from a revolutionary group or from a federal group, in order to protect your rights. Protecting your rights is something that inevitably comes down to you. And when the government fails to do it, you are exactly the line in the sand. If you read the Constitution and the writing of the Founding Fathers, that's exactly what they meant when they wrote the Bill of Rights. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for The Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.